That's the NA Ranger. He's been around 20 years at least, so look up to him. He means a lot. Hi, everybody. I'm Ed, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Ed.
Okay. I love this podium, a generic podium for a generic speaker. That's me right here. You know, I got nothing. I got asked to speak a half hour ago, so here I am. But one good thing about being here is that they asked me to speak on 10, 11, and 12, which I really highly respect. I just did a few of them over again, not recently, it's probably been a couple years now, but because of some issues that happened in my life that I had to change up. So real quick, familiarize you with step 10. We continued to take personal inventory and we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You know, to me, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that right now because of the fact that if you've been in Narcotics Anonymous for a while, you learn to check yourself over and over again, you know, and you try to figure out what you want to do so you don't do a reoccurring incident in your life, you know. We do that often, but at the same time, we catch ourselves, you know. So taking your own personal inventory at night, you know, oh, did I harm anybody today, you know, did I thank God today for being alive, did I call my sponsor, things like that. When all that stuff comes together, you know, you're checking yourself to make sure that you're on the right path to do the right thing. And that's very, very important because this, like, you know, you're nothing by yourself, nothing. But with this crowd you're sitting here with, you're huge. You're huge, you know? You got the power of whatever many we got here, 15, 20, 30, I don't even know, I can't count. So it doesn't matter. But like, so when you have that power and you utilize it by taking your inventory and checking yourself, you know, leaving your shit at the door, that's where your growth is gonna come from. And don't think you're gonna see yourself grow, because you're not. One of these days, somebody's gonna walk up to you and says, man, you've come a long way, you know? That's the reward. That's where it comes from somebody else realizing that you are carrying a message of Narcotics Anonymous. You are giving somebody a promise of hope, you know, and things like that. So it's important that you just stay in the shadows. Do what you have to do, and when the time comes, you will be rewarded. Your higher power knows exactly what you're doing all the time. There's no way he doesn't know. He just kind of just spreads it out as you receive it. So, you know, so with that said, I'll move on to step 11 because I think that's important to me. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Improve our conscious contact. I had a sponsor for 20 plus years, and he was on dialysis and he died. And you know, that was a long time. Think about him every day. I got his picture hanging up in my dining room. I think about him all the time because he's told me some of the most spiritual things I've ever heard and some of the promises that he made to me even while he was dying. I was with him the night he died. Even while he was dying, like, it carries with me, you know? I mean, and then I woke up the next day and he was gone, you know? There was no more sponsor. You know, you get this, when you're with somebody so long, you get accustomed to them, you know, you don't have to call them every day, you don't have to speak to them about this, you know. He lived in Pittsburgh, I lived in Indiana. It made a difference for me to, you know, be able to communicate with them, you know. But like, it was, when we talked, it was like we knew exactly what was going to happen, you know. I'd go down to Pittsburgh, we'd go out to dinner, he'd make me pay all the time because he was broke, you know. But that's okay, because it was, you know, I guess when you're the sponsee, you got certain levels of life put on you, you know? I don't know. Maybe you'll learn that as you go along. You know, if you guys got any sponsees, you know, get rich ones. Yeah, you'll be all right, yeah? So like, okay, so he passed. His name was Billy R. And, you know, like I said, when I woke up the next day, I was alone. You know, I couldn't make that phone call if I wanted to. I couldn't, like, do what I needed to do. I grew stale. I got stale. And actually, this is where I should have started taking my inventory, actually, because I stayed stale for a really long time. You know, I'm talking like 3 months, you know, without a sponsor. Now, somebody's going to go, oh, well, I've been 2 years clean. I still ain't got a sponsor, you know? Get one. But you know, I was right before he passed, he left his name with me, this gentleman. And he said that, you know, give this guy a call. I'd never met him. I didn't know him at all, you know? And I don't know. I just said, okay, you know, freaking bugs. So one day I went down to New Stanton and they were having some kind of spaghetti dinners, party type place, you know, like they do every now and then. And this guy walks in. His name was Mickey H. And when he introduced himself, I go, that's the guy I'm supposed to look for. And I go, wow, this is weird, man, you know? Is this something working in my life that I don't know about that's going to boost me to another level of learning in recovery? Or is this guy gonna shoot me in the back and just say, I don't got too many sponsees, I don't need no more, you know? Something like that, you know? So you get all anxious, you know, that you get that stomach feeling, you get anxious, you know, you're gonna ask somebody to do something that you don't know. And so the first thing I said was, hi. You know, I just walked up to him and said, hey, how you doing? And then I asked him if he knew Billy, and he said yes. And I says, before he passed, he told me to get your phone number if I ever saw you, if I ever met you. So that's how that started. I asked him for his phone number. He was kind enough to give it to me. And I put in my phone, and that's probably one of the first times I called somebody like once a week, you know, because you know, I didn't know how to build up to it. Well, sure shit, I went to Pittsburgh again. He was speaking somewhere. I heard about it. I went to Pittsburgh, and I asked him. I says, hey, listen, Billy died. I've been alone for a long time, you know. You think you can work with me and help me? I've worked my steps a couple times and stuff. Me and Billy, we're all good, you know. I'm not high maintenance, you know. I'm not gonna call you every hour saying, oh my God, my life is falling apart, you know. I ain't gonna do that, you know. I'm just going to call you to let you know I'm alive, you know. And he goes, okay, call me. So I started doing that again. Kept on calling, and finally he accepted me into the flock. Now that flock is really huge, you know. I always wondered about the female flock and the male pride, you know. Is it like who's at the top of the female? I don't know that. But if you go to the top of the male, I'm thinking Bobby P is somewhere up there, you know. He's got to be. I mean, I don't know, because that's where my family grows up to the top of him, you know. And all the other guys in between, you know that the Dennises, the Steves, you know, I don't know, the Mickeys, and all these guys, you know, and one thing I want to make sure you guys understand: see, my sponsor has less time than me. So that's something you don't want to look for. You don't want your sponsor doesn't have to have 15 years. Your sponsor has to carry a spiritual message, be able to relate to you, talk to you, share with you, you know, invite you over to his house, things like that, you know, and that's what became of our relationship, you know, and the message he carried was, you know, well received by me and many others, you know, and like I said, it's not that important your sponsor to have 25, 30 years they could have 10 years and carry a message of recovery that you want to have. And that's where it's at. You know, what do you want in recovery? You know, do you want to, you want to drive race cars? You're in the wrong place, you know. You know, you want to learn about living a spiritual life, being honest, open-minded, and willing. You could start here, and it just grows as you grow with your family, you know. It's awesome. It's very awesome. It's an encouraging thing to have with you when you are, you know, learning about what you want to do with your life, you know. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life when I first started, you know. I just thought being clean was going to bring me everything I wanted, you know. Well, you know what? I had to get a job. I had to pay for shit, you know. Shit did not just come rolling down the hill and land in my lap, you know. Woo. Fall over. With that said, that's, you know, that's what I had to do, you know. So what happened when I worked with Mickey was, you know, he made me write the 10th step over again because my conscious contact with God had gotten mislaid because I was alone and unburdened and not spiritual, you know. I got angry because he died on me. I got mad at him because he died, you know. Tell me, what the hell is wrong with me, you know? But that's how alone I felt, you know. I needed that support that I've had for so many years that just got swept away from under me, you know. So he told me, go your basic text, open up that one, and start writing. And you know, and that's what I put on the paper. I put down on the paper about being mad, you know, about being upset that somebody could just give up life because, you know, he didn't want to do what he was doing, you know, and it just didn't, you know. I felt cheated. I felt left alone. It was terrible. But guess what? I had to relearn myself on how to accept tragedy, you know, responsibility, you know. It's just these things that we have to relearn they're instilled in us and we have them and everything. But how easy anybody ever here ever get complacent in their recovery? You know, I bet you one or two of you have at least, you know. I guarantee, you know, you get complacent with your step work. Oh my God, I've been trying to write my fourth step for 6 months, you know. I go, well, how long did it take you to write the first one? 3 weeks. I go, well, then you're doing something wrong, you know, because it shouldn't take that long. So like, you know, so I did the writing and I talked to myself. I read it to him. Actually, I had to mail it to him because I didn't have it. I mailed it to him and, you know, I got reconnected again. I started feeling useful again. I got back into service again. Unfortunately, my sponsor right now won't sponsor anybody unless they do H&I. You know? And, you know, luckily I already had 10 years under my belt before I even met him. So that was pretty good. I was ahead of the game there. But I just kept on going with it and everything. Going to prisons and stuff, you know? So like, So that would I fit into the pride there that we had, you know. So, okay, so as a, up to this day now, from that first time I met him at New Stanton, our lives have, you know, are just normal. I call him, I'm not going to tell you how often I call him because it's not often enough, but when we talk, it's often enough, you know, so I don't know how to put it any other way, you know. I'm not lazy. I just, there's nothing happening, you know. I work. I go home. I got a lovely wife, you know. I cook dinner. She cooks dinner, you know. It's a good, oh God, I forgot. I'm going to say 27-year marriage. Don't hold me on that. But somewhere in that neighborhood there. So it's all good, you know. So that's what I learned, you know. After you relearn yourself about stuff, you can get along with your life, which is a plus. So remember, step 10, man, keep that conscious contact open at all times because you just don't know when you're going to have to recommunicate like we should every day, but we do. Okay, step number 12. Continue. Oh, we had it. Oh God, this table's great. I know. Carry the message to the addict that still suffers. I know it. I'm just gonna read it real quick though. Am I out of time?
Hell no.
Okay.
You can take all the time you want.
Man. No, I only we got half hour each.
We're getting older, and I don't want you to fall over.
Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to the addict and practice these principles in all of our affairs. Okay, this is a good one, you know? I don't know how I got, at least I got lucky by getting picked just a half hour ago, whatever it was, you know, because these are really good steps. Really, really good steps. Okay. Somebody ever, did your sponsor ever say you should do service work? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of you, I'm sure, right? Okay, so, did you ever tell him, I do service work. Every time I go to a meeting and share, I'm doing service work. Because I'm carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. That's how I put it. I think it to be a simple, positive way to keep the step in place and continue going. Because there's a lot of people, you know, that come into these rooms that, like, let's just say, I don't know how you felt when you walked in for the first time, but when I walked into my first meeting, there was three people there, and I asked, when's everybody coming? Well, there wasn't anybody coming, you know? I got clean in 1985, and that's, geez. I didn't know about Narcotics Anonymous. Well, actually, I take that back. In 1972, I went to my first meeting because I was arrested, and a court ordered to go to this meeting, and this was in New York, that's where I lived, and there was a bunch of round tables with four chairs at each table. A bunch of people were there, and like, nobody knew what to do, what was going on. Only thing I got out of that meeting was a couple more connections to buy dope. That's all I got out of that place. I got no recovery, no nothing, you know? So I'm not even gonna count that as being my first meeting, you know? But it was. So carrying a message to the addict still suffers comes in a variety of forms, you know? We have the ability in our lives to make other people's lives better. Cliches. Coffee makers make it, you know? Somebody give me another one. I forget them all already. okay. Keep coming back. You know, all that stuff, you know, all, you know, that's the stuff that keeps us connected. You know, I mean, first time I went to a meeting, when, like I said, there was just three or four people there. The guy at the end of the table had a basic text, and he goes, nobody's gonna get nothing unless you do this. He picks up the book and starts smacking himself in the head with it. And I'm looking at him, and this is like new to me. Like, you know, I'm going, oh my God, what, you know, this lunatic, right? You know? Well, what he was, I guess, trying to express was that, you know, you have to bury your head into this basic text to understand all the meanings and all the paragraphs of how they're laid out and everything. I mean, I've seen the basic text before it was written, you know, the proof readings. That thing was a mess, you know. They cleaned it up really, really good, you know. They cleaned it up really, really good. So, you know, all those guys, Bo and all them guys, they did a good job, you know. But like, that was the beginning of how the message was to be carried. And the message was carried for, I don't know, 1953. The books didn't come out till what, in the 80s? When did the book come out? Anybody know? Two? Okay. Three? Well, we don't know. Well, I'm just gonna say that because I don't know. Somebody knows. But like, you know? And so, ever since then, the power of a message being relayed to you that you didn't understand after reading it in the basic text came from the people that were doing the, you know, the writing, the opening all the meetings, you know, making the coffee, you know, going to service meetings, you know, all that stuff. I went to a service meeting one time it was by White Castle. I think that was the north side. I don't know. But You couldn't see the front of the room. There was so much smoke in that room. Everybody smoked back then in the church, and it was a long room, long tables, and you couldn't see the front of it because everybody's just, you know, I don't know if they were nervous or continuous chain smokers or what, you know, but I was one of them, so it really didn't matter. So the message got carried, you know. We used to have to go, you know. Right now, this electronic world that you guys are facing is pretty amazing, you know. If I wanted to find out where there was a dance, a convention, a party, an event, a new meeting, you had to go to Pittsburgh. And there'd be flyers all over the tables, you know? That's how it was, you know? There was no, I mean, I don't even think there were cell phones when I got clean. So, I mean, you know what's crazy? I went to a place that does fabrication of steel and everything, and they had a basket full of pens and these little silver things in there. They were about this big, right? I picked them up because I said, oh, what's this, a magnet? I opened it up and it was one of those elevator-like phone books. Remember them? That you used to get them at conventions to write down all the phone numbers from people that you met. I mean, wow, if you, I don't know, if you have one of those now, hang on to it. It's probably a collector's item or something, you know? But like, it's crazy. So I only got a few minutes left, so I'm gonna get close to wrapping it up here. Like I said, you know, this is a place where everybody that walks into this room has no idea what they're gonna get themselves into. After they've been here for a short time, they start developing an instinct that, like, when I go to this room, I'm gonna hug these people. When I go to this room, they're gonna have 5 readings that we're gonna read, you know? Every time. When I go to this room, they're gonna ask me to maybe chair a meeting or make some coffee, you know? And this is all the stuff that we get taught in our early recovery, because that's the only way we know how to do it. To be honest, I don't know if there is any other way to recover than a pot of coffee and a gang of people, you know? I mean, resentment pot, coffee pot, you know? You ever hear that one, you know? All that stuff, you know? So, like, it's crazy. So, remember, you came here on your own free will, most of you. And the ones that didn't come on their own free will, which I was one, I learned to adapt, and I ended up liking the lifestyle that I was being introduced to. And what I was getting from it was excited. It was making me excited about coming to meetings and being part of something, you know, when I didn't know that this existed. So now that it's here and you all have a chance to be part of something, get excited over it, because someday you're going to think back about what somebody said, maybe even a newcomer, and you're going to say, God, that saved my life. You know, some of us already lost lives. I lost a life here, you know, but I'm here. I bought 17 years, August 16th, 17 years ago, I got a new liver put in me because I was a dope fiend, you know. I had hepatitis since the 70s, and it about killed me. But but obviously there's another plan. Maybe it's to meet Nicole, I don't know. Nicole's the one I had to meet. That's the way it goes, I guess, you know. So, with that said, thank you all for having me. Thank you so much.